Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So how you doing? We ask that all the time. It's a good conversation starter, and it's not a bad question. The problem, I think, is with our answers. Usually we say, "Oh, I'm fine. How about you?" "I'm fine." Or, "I'm good. You?" "I'm good too." Maybe sometimes that's true, but most of the time, it's not, is it? So why don't we answer honestly? Perhaps we don't want to burden other people with our problems, don't want to be all gloomy Gus all the time. But more than that, though, I think, is that we don't want other people to know our problems. For what would you think of me if you really knew me? If you knew the problems that I have, the sins that I struggle with, all my failures, that I'm really a mess, that my family isn't perfect, that I don't have it all together, that what you see on Sunday morning isn't really who I am. If you knew that all I wanted to do is be like those disciples and go into my room and lock the door and try to keep all the trouble out, or at least forget about it for a while, or maybe wait until it blows over. Because I'm afraid. I know me too well. Ever think those things? How you doing? Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Nathaniel, Matthew, James, Jude, and Simon weren't doing so well either. They were a mess. Each of them, and all of them. The images of what had just happened, what they had just seen, were fresh in their minds. And when they weren't thinking of that, the shouldas, wouldas, and couldas were probably taking up the rest of the time. Peter remembering his denials, the others remembering their cowardice, maybe James and John remembering how they wanted the seats of honor next to Jesus in his kingdom. Yeah. Look at them now. Peter, did you double check the lock on the door? Nathaniel, take a peek out. Anyone there? And the only thing worse than today was thinking about tomorrow. Then Jesus shows up. And if you think our paraments are white, I'll bet at that moment the faces of the 10 were whiter. Fear, embarrassment, wonder, how did he? Questions, doubts, awe, shame, terror, peace be with you. And there are the holes in his hands, in his feet, in his side. It's Jesus, no doubt about that. Peace be with you. He says it again. For they needed to hear it again. He holds nothing against them. He knows and He forgives everything. All the guilt, all the shame, all that's gone wrong. This is Jesus not only giving them what they need, but also teaching them about what they just saw. Because of His wounds, because of His death, there is now peace with God. They are reconciled. All they deserve, He has taken. Yes, that should have been them. But it's not. And what they don't deserve, He gives. Peace be with you. I forgive you. Then we are told, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Not before. Before forgiveness, there were only the doubts and fears and shame and all the mixed up jumble of confusion and guilt. After forgiveness, they were glad. They were absolved. Jesus is not mad at them. He's not their enemy. He's holding nothing against them. It's as if almost nothing ever happened. Exactly. It's what Jeremiah had written so long ago. I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Overjoyed is more like it. They didn't have to hide anymore. They didn't have to run anymore. And they didn't. They leave that locked room to share their joy with Thomas. They leave that locked room to share their joy with the world. Did you hear the reading from Acts? No fear of the Jews there. Just boldness, defiance. We must obey God rather than men. And they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. The name of the God who doesn't condemn, but forgives. The name of the God who unlocked their prison of sin and shame and absolves and forgets. The name of the God who died for them. The name of Jesus. So where are you hiding? Where are you running? What's locking the door of your heart? Oh, nothing. I'm fine, Pastor. Everything's good. Good. Couldn't be better. You know, that's why we start the service here every week by not saying, how you doing? Jesus knows how you're doing. He knows better than you. Because sometimes we work so hard at trying to fool others that we wind up fooling ourselves. And so instead, we start the service here every week just like that first Easter night. Jesus comes. He comes here for you. For you, locked in sin and shame, afraid to let anyone know what you're really like, how bad a sinner you are, that you don't have it all together. We just start with Jesus. His name and His absolution. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In His name, peace be with you. Because he commanded those 10 and the church to do that. To forgive. That's why we start the service this way. That's why I'm here so often for private absolution. Not judgment. Just forgiveness. Freedom from your locked doors and shame because of his wounds. So the question is, why are you hanging on to what he took away? That's also why baptism. That's also why the supper. Forgiveness for young and old. Forgiveness for you. Jesus said it twice in that room that night. They needed to hear it again. And you need to hear it again. And then again and again. And to receive this gift again and again. To come out of your locked doors. To live. So your pastor forgives. Try it sometime. Unlock your heart. Dump your whole mess in my ears. Spew it out. Why hang on to what Jesus takes away? I forgive you all your sins. So come here for forgiveness, yes. You know, Jesus loves it when you do. Your pastor, too. He is overjoyed. For remember the last really great Christmas gift you bought or you made for someone? The one you took so much time and thought about it for so long and you thought it was just perfect, just what they needed? How did you feel when that person opens it up and says, "Oh, yeah, thanks," and quickly puts it aside? But how much joy for you, not just the receiver, but for you, when it is received with joy. So too with Jesus and his forgiveness. He wants to give it to you. It's his joy and yours. And then speak those words too, because when you don't, you're also hanging on to what Jesus takes away, which Satan absolutely loves. That's why the 6 hardest words to speak are, "I am sorry," and "I forgive you." We would often rather say and do anything but those words. You see how Satan has wormed his way into your life? So speak these words too. Don't give Satan the satisfaction. Don't lock yourself up again. And don't look at the sin committed against you or the sin that's in you. Look at Jesus. At his wounds for you. And though you can't put your finger into the holes in his hands and feet, he puts his wounded but now raised body and blood into you. For the same joy, the same forgiveness, the same freedom. So that you don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to run anymore. You can leave that locked up heart and locked up room and live in joy and peace. And you know what? You might suffer for it. Just like the disciples. That's true. I'm not going to tell you your life's going to be all rosy. Not everyone out there will forgive. And you'll be betrayed by your fellow Christians. Because those Christians, you know, they're sinners too. And family members and friends, and it'll hurt. Maybe you'll do it too. Well, not maybe, right? And so we come back here and dump it again. And Jesus is here again, forgiving and absolving, never growing tired of it, which is sometimes hard to believe, isn't it? There must be a limit, right? But you can't out-sin the cross. You can't. You can leave it and not want forgiveness. You can reject it and not think you need forgiveness, but you can't out-sin the cross. If it was just a man there, then yes. But that's not just a man there. That's Jesus, your God, for you, to forgive you and provide you an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That's coming. Now the trials, which we usually think of as great persecution and troubles, right? But maybe it's much simpler than that. Maybe the greatest trial you will ever go through are those six words. Humbling yourself to say, I'm sorry. And loving enough to say, I forgive you. Maybe that's hard enough. And that's the pure spiritual milk we need to grow up to salvation. For what is salvation but our freedom and rescue from sin and death? That peace be with you, and you depart in that peace, reconciled, redeemed, a child of God, dearly loved, forgiven, and free. The death and resurrection and joy of Jesus, yours. Now and forever, peace be with you. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.